The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
If you would like to know how you can become a Harvest Partner, just go to harvest.org. That's harvest.org. The next time you're filled with worry, try talking to yourself. I'll be distressed by something and I'll actually preach a little sermon to Greg. Greg, now listen. This is what the Bible says. Sometimes I'll say it out loud.
Everybody needs a little positive affirmation. Pastor Greg Laurie says we should let biblical thoughts speak to us.
We all have moments of despair. Quote the Word of God to yourself. Remind yourself of what is true.
This is the day when the lost are found.
Thoughts speak to us all the time. If you're afraid of heights, you know how your thoughts speak to you, sometimes in a very loud voice. Your thoughts speak to you when you taste something really good, when you smell something really bad. We all have a mental dialogue going all the time. Well, today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie invites us to change the channel on that mental dialogue and begin tuning into the thoughts based on the reliable encouragement we find in God's Word.
Cure to worry. And I'm going to be looking at Philippians chapter 4. So turn in your Bible to that text if you would. Let's pray together. Now, Father, I pray for every person, wherever they are watching this, hearing this, that you will speak to their hearts, that you would speak to our hearts, because we need your truth in a world filled with half-truths and distortions and frightening things that we hear all the time. We need some good news in a bad world. So speak to us from your word, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. This is the last message in a series we've been doing called Quarantine Life. We've all been experiencing that together, haven't we? And these are the words of the Apostle Paul to the believers in Philippi. He was under house arrest. Why? Well, he had appealed to Caesar. He'd been preaching the gospel. He was arrested. And as a Roman citizen, he had the right to appeal to Caesar. So now he's waiting an appearance before the leader of Rome. But it's a very uncertain future. He didn't know if he was going to be acquitted or beheaded. And plus, there were some believers that were divided. Some were for Paul. Some were against him. So he could be super stressed out. But instead of worrying, Paul is rejoicing and living in great peace. Instead of complaining, he gives to us the secret of victory over worry. Don't you want to know what that secret is? I'm going to give it to you right now. No charge. Look at your Bible. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Paul writes these words, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing." Or another way to translate that is, don't worry about anything. "But in everything in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus." So here's point number one if you're taking notes. The believer should not worry. The believer should not worry. Why? Because worrying is simply not a productive thing to do. In fact, when we worry, it's really a failure on our part to trust God. It's interesting that the word worry comes from a word that can translate out to choke. That's what worry does. It sort of chokes you. It creates a mental and emotional strangulation in your life. It doesn't make things better. Worry actually makes things worse, because when you worry about the future, you cripple yourself in the present. Listen to this. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Let me repeat that. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Number two, if you're taking notes, instead of worrying, I should rejoice. Instead of worrying, I should rejoice. Look at Paul's words, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now, notice it says rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You don't have to rejoice in your circumstances. I think sometimes Christians think that whatever happens, they should rejoice in it. Oh, I'm so thankful that I just wrecked my car. I'm so thankful that I found out I'm very sick. No, here's what you say. I'm so thankful that despite the fact that I wrecked my car and I'm sick, God is still on the throne and he still loves me. I'm so thankful that God, according to Romans 8:28, can cause all things to work together for good to those that love the Lord. So that's what it means. Rejoice in the Lord, not merely in your circumstances. So as we come to this last message in this series, there are three steps you need to take if you want to find the cure to worry. Write this down. Three things you need to do if you want to find the cure to worry. Number one, it's right praying. That's verses 6-7. Right praying. Number two, right thinking. That's verse 8. And finally, right living. That's verse 9. Right praying, right thinking, right living. Let's start with the first one. Right praying. The next time you're tempted to worry, pray instead. We need to get into the habit of turning to God when we feel worry approaching and develop what we might call a conditioned reflex. When trouble comes our way, and it does, doesn't it? When bad news comes our way, when something scary happens, our first inclination, our natural reflex, if you will, is to worry. Oh no, worry, panic. But here's what you need to teach yourself to do. You pray instead. So the moment you start to panic, you turn your panic into a prayer. You turn your worry into worship. You turn to God immediately. That is what Paul is telling us that we should do. Develop this conditioned reflex and put the matter in the hands of God. Number three, when you pray instead of worry and you rejoice instead of panic, you will have God's supernatural peace. Let me say that again. When you pray instead of worry and when you rejoice instead of panic, you will have peace. Look at Philippians 4:7. Paul writes, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard. You might want to underline that word. It'll guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Paul uses a military term here for guard. He's saying God's peace will literally stand guard around your heart and protect you if in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you let your request be made known to God. It's as though Sergeant Peace has been assigned to watch over you. So when you go to sleep at night, when you lay your head on that pillow and your mind is flooded with worry, you can say, Lord, I cast all of my care upon you because your word tells me that you care for me, and you can experience the peace of God that passes human understanding. You see, it will stand guard over the two areas of your life that cause worry. That's the heart, our emotions, our wrong feelings, and over our mind, that's the wrong thinking. So if you want to overcome worry, it starts with right praying. And point number two is it comes down to right thinking. Look at verse 8, and let me just quote it from King James. It says, whatsoever things are true and lovely and virtuous, if they're of good report, think on these things. Here's a modern translation. Summing it all up, my friends, I'd say you do your best by filling your minds, by meditating on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. Think about the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. I've put this passage to the test. I mentioned in my last message that our son Christopher went to be with the Lord. And I have to tell you that on the day that I found out that our son had died, it was the worst day of my life. And I felt as though life could have ended for me then. It was so devastating. I remember I couldn't stand. I collapsed on the ground. I wept uncontrollably for days and weeks. I cried more than any other time of my life. And I was in a state of shock initially. I didn't know it at the time, but I was. And then I was just numb. And I remember feeling as though there was a huge weight on my chest, just an actual physical pressure I felt. I was constantly sighing. It was just such a heavy, hard thing. And I couldn't sleep at night because I couldn't imagine a world without my son. I felt like I was living a nightmare. So as I would get ready to go to sleep, all these thoughts would crowd my mind, these horrible, negative, scary, awful thoughts. And so I sort of ran them through what I called a grid of grace. I took every one of those thoughts and I asked myself the question, is this true? This thing I'm thinking, is it true? Secondly, is this thing helpful? Is this thing pure and lovely? Or is it the ugly and the worst thing? And I would actually veto thoughts, not going to think about that. Instead, I'm going to think about this other thing in its place. I was controlling what came into my mind. Listen, folks, this is command central. And as you can see, I don't have any hair here because grass does not grow on busy streets. Anyway, the idea is we have to consider what we think about. Because what we think about ultimately affects what we do. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks, so is he. It is in my mind that I reason, I contemplate, I dream, I fantasize, so I can reach into the past through memories. I can reach into the future through imagination. So I want to learn how to think right. That's why I'm told over in 2 Corinthians 10:5 to bring every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Jesus Christ. So it's not just right praying that'll help you overcome worry. It's right thinking.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment. We're encouraged when we hear that Pastor Greg's teaching and preaching is touching lives.
Hey, Pastor Greg, my name is Mark from New York. Just calling. I was saved at your crusade in Madison Square Garden in the 2000s. And if it wasn't for my mom pulling me to your crusade and me listening to your teachings, I wouldn't be here today probably. You saved my life. After that, I became a Christian. I found a church. I married my wife. We got baptized together. But things didn't always stay good, you know? And last year, I lost my daughter, and your teachings on that subject have really helped me through a really dark and difficult time. And now I have two beautiful sons, and we're picking up where we left off. We're living this life, and I just thank you so much for always giving a good word, always speaking through the Lord. I appreciate you, and I thank you.
And we're grateful to hear of the changed lives because of Pastor Greg's teachings. And if you have a story to tell of how these studies have touched your life or that of a family member, I hope you'll email Pastor Greg. His email is greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org. Well, today, Pastor Greg is offering practical counsel from his message called The Cure to Worry. And you can get a replay of today's insight at harvest.org.
The next time you're filled with worry, try talking to yourself. I know that sounds crazy, but there have been times I've talked to myself. I'll be distressed or agitated by something, and I'll actually preach a little sermon to Greg. Greg, now listen, this is what the Bible says. Sometimes I'll say it out loud. We know that the psalmist did that. There's an occasion where he was overwhelmed with his problems in Psalm 42. His emotions seemed to be getting the best of him, causing him to cry out, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me?" So he's actually saying, "Well, hey you," speaking to himself, "why are you so down? What's wrong?" And then he corrects himself and says, "Put your hope in God, and I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." That's called talking to yourself or preaching to yourself. You correct your own thinking. Sometimes you do it out loud. Quote the word of God to yourself. Remind yourself of what is true. Because listen, we all have moments of despair. We all have lapses of faith. We all have times in our life where we don't understand what is going on in our life. So that's why we need to turn to the word of God. So if you want to overcome worry, it's right praying, it's right thinking, and the final point, right living. Right living. Philippians 4:9, Paul says, the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So it's doing the right thing. See, the problem is sin can infiltrate our life and mess up everything. And we can end up with our hearts being hard, or as the Bible says, having our conscience seared as with a hot iron. I mentioned earlier how if you touch something hot, you pull your hand back. Well, there was a time I was ironing a shirt. By the way, I have a very powerful iron. It's imported from Europe. And when it does a blast of steam, it's like no American iron I've ever seen. So I'll iron things with that. I don't know why I like to iron stuff, especially if it's really wrinkled. You know, so I ironed his shirt and I put it on and everything was right. And there was one little wrinkle on the shirt, like right here. And I don't know what I was thinking. Instead of taking the shirt off and ironing out the wrinkle, I thought, I'll just give it a blast of steam. So I took the shirt and I kind of pulled it out like this. I took the mega iron from Europe with the blast of steam and I hit it. And I screamed like a little girl. It was so painful. Later that night, I took my shirt off. My wife looked at me and saw a big red welt there. She said, what happened to you? I said, don't ask. Okay. So you don't want your heart to be seared as with a hot iron or have your heart get hard. That's why we want to live right. You see, living right with God results in experiencing the peace of God. The Bible says, you will go out with joy. You'll be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Don't you love that verse? You'll go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Years ago, before I began preaching, I was a graphic designer, and I did an album cover where I illustrated this very verse. But that's how God leads us. He leads us with peace, and we go out with joy. That's a result of a relationship with the Lord. But I'm talking to somebody right now that doesn't have joy. They don't have peace. They have despair. They have guilt, and they have fear. You know, I remember before I was a Christian, I had a big hole in my heart. And I heard the gospel, and I'm going to tell you what the gospel is in a moment if you've not heard it. I heard what it meant to become a follower of Jesus and what Jesus could do for me. And I prayed a prayer asking Christ to come into my life. And I remember as though this massive weight had been lifted off of me. And you know what I realized later? That was the weight of my sin. And everybody carries a weight like that. Now, some may have sinned more than others, but one sin is enough to keep you out of heaven. Every one of us have sinned. Every one of us have broken God's commandments. Every one of us have fallen short of God's standards, but that's where Jesus comes in. That's why Jesus died on the cross. Listen to this. The Bible says, the punishment for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. See, God punished Jesus, if you will, in the way that you and I should have been punished. Jesus bore the weight of my sin. Jesus came to pay a debt he did not owe because we owed a debt we could not pay. To put it theologically, he was our substitution, right? He died in our place. He died on the cross for your sin so you could be forgiven of your sin. And then he rose again from the dead 3 days later. And guess what? Wherever you are, you're in a front room, you're in a car, you're sitting in a park. I don't know where you are watching this right now, but I want you to know something. Jesus Christ is there with you right now. And Jesus says, especially if you don't know him, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. How can a person have their sin forgiven? How can a person have their anxiety and guilt removed? How can a person find this joy and peace I've been talking about? Answer, by admitting you're a sinner and by asking Jesus to come into your life. Would you like that to happen for you right now? That's the gospel. The word gospel just means good news. Here's the good news. God loves you. God will forgive you. God will enter into your life. But I can't fully appreciate the good news if I don't know the bad news. The bad news is you're separated from God. And if you don't turn to him, you'll face a certain judgment. You don't want that to happen now, do you? You can have a fresh start in life. You can have Christ come and live inside of you. You can experience this peace that I've been talking to you about right now. You say, but how? What do I do? You pray. And I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer where you're asking Jesus to come into your life. So listen, in closing, if you want your sin forgiven, if you want to know you'll go to heaven when you die, if you want to fill that big hole in your heart, if you want your guilt removed, then I want you to pray this prayer with me that I'm about to pray. You can even pray it out loud if you like, or you can pray it silently in your heart, but do pray, and God will hear your prayer. So if you want Jesus to come into your life, pray this prayer with me right now. Just pray these words, Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, but I know that you are the Savior who died on the cross for my sin and rose again from the dead. Now, Jesus, come into my life right now. I choose to follow you from this moment forward. Thank you for hearing this prayer and answering this prayer. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie, praying with those who are making a decision for Christ today. And if you've made that change, we'd like to help you as you begin to walk with the Lord. We'd like to send you our New Believer's Growth Packet. It's free of charge for those making a first-time commitment to Christ today. Just ask for it as you write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514, or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300, or go online to harvest.org. You know, Pastor Greg, nobody really saw COVID-19 coming.
Yeah.
You know, you go back some months ago, and this just wasn't on anyone's radar. Just about everybody had jobs, and, you know, the economy was doing great, and people were watching sports on TV and playing sports down at the park, and then it seems like life unraveled in just a matter of days.
Yeah.
What does that tell us about assuming tomorrow is always going to be as good as today?
Yeah. Well, none of us know. None of us are even guaranteed a tomorrow. But I'll tell you, so many things have changed. I'll tell you one thing, Dave. The dumbest thing I ever purchased was the 2020 planner. You know, it's not of much value right now. But you talk about a blank schedule. I'm very busy, actually, but a lot of my busyness sometimes is travel and things like that. And I'm not doing any of those things, but I'm doing a lot at home. But never did I imagine in my wildest dreams that I would go to a bank teller with a mask on asking for money, you know? So the other day I went out with my wife and I wanted to get a little malt. This place has this thing called a date shake. I know that sounds weird, but it's a little shake made with dates and you put a little nutmeg on top. It's quite nice. But I had this, this scarf on that I'm wearing right now, as a matter of fact. And so I pull it above my face, you know, when I'm out interacting with people. So I put it on and walked in, and the first thing I said was, this is not a holdup. I just want a date shake, right? So that's a crazy times we're living in. But the good news is I haven't been late for anything for 3 weeks. So, but anyway, yeah, you know, we never are promised a tomorrow. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's been sufficient for us in our past. He'll be sufficient for us in each day, and always he'll be there for us in our future. And I think we need to remember that God is in control of our lives if we put our faith in Jesus Christ. As I've often said, the word oops is not in God's vocabulary. So we don't need to panic. We need to pray. We don't need to worry. We need to worship. We need a biblical perspective. And I've written a brand new book called bringing Christ into your crisis. And it deals with topics like how to handle your fear, how to deal with your anxiety, how to ask the Lord to help you, how to trust in the Lord in these difficult times that we're all facing together, and a whole lot more. And I want to send you this book for, get ready for it, because we're going to use Echo. I want to send you this book for free. Yes, that's right. No charge. You can have it as my gift to you. But if you would be able to support us right now financially, I'd really appreciate that, because there are incredible doors open for us to reach more people than we have ever reached before. You know that this radio program is of some value, I hope, to you or members of your family. And wouldn't you like to see other people hear it where they're living? Well, when you invest in our ministry, you help us to look at new opportunities to bring the gospel to the world. You know, Jesus said to the Church of Philadelphia, which I believe is really the Church of the Last Days, Jesus said to her, and I believe us, in effect, I've set before you an open door and no man can shut it. We want to walk through this open door of opportunity. And if you will pray with us and if you will support us, we can do a lot more than we can do without it. So prayerfully consider what you can do to help us as we reach out to our nation and indeed our world through these days of the coronavirus. And I would love to rush you a copy of my brand new book, Bringing Christ into Your Crisis.
Yeah, that's right. And if you'd consider investing on a regular basis, ask about becoming a Harvest Partner. We can pass along the details. Your support helps us reach real people, like someone who reached out to us on social media and said, I too am one of those people who have lost their source of income due to this COVID pandemic. Fortunately, with the help of Greg Laurie, I had recently received Jesus Christ as my Savior, my Lord, and my friend after watching one of his sermons online. Thank you for bringing Jesus into my life. Now I have no fear because I have faith. Well, you know, it's only because of the support of our Harvest partners and others who support us regularly that people like this have been touched. And we want to thank you for your support. And once again, ask for Pastor Greg's new book when you send your donation. It's titled Bringing Christ into Your Crisis. And today is our last opportunity to mention this resource to you, so we hope you'll get in touch today. You can write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514, or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or just go online to harvest.org. Well, next time, Pastor Greg helps us see how the Lord knows what we're going through, and He has a plan to bring us through. How will He bring us through? It happens as we bring Christ into our crisis. Find out more next time on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.